Good evening, everyone. Now, I want a bit honesty here. When Andy was reading these verses, how many of you know the song Silver and Gold Have I None? And how many of you can actually read that passage without being tempted to burst into song? It's difficult, isn't it? Because every time I read it, and I was warned by my son when I said what I was preaching, I went, "Mum, please don't sing that song. That's going to be so embarrassing." And I says, "But you're not even at the church." He went, "Yeah, but the embarrassment will go to Derby." So I've been warned not to sing it. I did do a little burst for Laura, but Laura didn't know it. Other than that, we were going to do a duet. But never mind. Maybe one Sunday we'll have that song again. I can't remember. Did we have it in that sing thing? Did we do that one? You don't know it? The war is totally, utterly declared. Never mind. Ignoring what Andy said. Good evening, everyone. Last week, for those who were here, Marshall shared the second chapter of Acts about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and that led to Peter's first sermon. And this evening, as Andy read, we're going to look at Acts chapter 3. And that was the first miracle, and that led to Peter's second sermon. Like Peter's first sermon, many responded to this message, but you need to come next week for the next exciting instalment to find out what happened. So I'm going to leave it there. There's two clear sections. There's from verses 1 to 10, there's a healing of the lame man. And then from 11 to 26, there's Peter preaching to the crowd. In the first section, Peter and John are on their way to the temple for prayer. And even though they were the first Christians, they hadn't turned their back on being Jewish. They were the first Messianic Jews. And that day, Peter and John were doing what they do regularly. When they met a lame man being carried by his friends to his regular spot. That was what he did regularly. Begging was his everyday routine. And the one thing that struck me from this passage was that God can work in an extraordinary way, on an ordinary day, with ordinary people. Anyone here feel quite ordinary? So that means God can work in our lives today. We're ordinary people. God is an amazing God. He can work in an extraordinary way in this ordinary day to us ordinary people. So I want you to just think about the scene in Acts 3. It was 3 in the afternoon. The temple courtyard had been really mega busy because that was a normal prayer time. The lame man's usual spot was by the temple gate called Beautiful. This was a prime location and had the highest volume of people passing that way to the temple. The man, he'd never walked. He'd been born lame, as we read in verse 2. And he'd been there for the past 40 years. Peter and John had probably passed by him many times before. In fact, he was probably there when Jesus passed by. The giving of alms, well, that was an important part of the Jewish faith. And beggars would find the gates of the temple a good place to be, and especially at that time of day. Last year I went to India. I went to Amritsar. And I was taken aback by so many beggars that was around the city, especially near the Golden Temple, a Sikh shrine. And I went to see this Golden Temple. And what I hadn't accounted for was it was a special festival day and there was a special festival taking place. Oh boy, the place was really, really heaving. I had never been in an environment like that before, with so many people crowding into such a small place. Around me was just a whole sea of faces and it took me all my strength to just hold on to my friend and not let go. I had no idea what else was around me. I was just kind of head down and getting on with it. And that gave me a bit of an appreciation of this. At the temple, it was a really busy place. That afternoon, when Peter and John were making their way to the temple in Jerusalem, out of all the voices, out of all the hustle and bustle that would have been going on around them, Peter and John are directed by God to this particular man. Now, I couldn't have told you any individual other than my friend that I was clinging on to for my dear life that day. I had no idea of anyone else. So that God directed Peter and John to that particular man. And noticing that man was clear evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit's leading. Let's look at verses 3 to 5. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. When he got up that morning and pulled on his clothes, picked up his begging cup or whatever it was he used to collect the money, when his friends came to cart him off and drop him at the gate of the temple, I don't think he would have had any inkling of what would happen that day. It was just an ordinary day. The man was born lame, and his expectation was that he would be lame for the rest of his life. When he went to the temple gates that day, all he expected were alms, and God gave him legs. Boom, boom. Arms, legs. Okay. Okay, that's almost as bad as Andy's joke. You could have used that one. But all the man expected that day were some alms, but God gave him so much more. When you came to church on this ordinary day, what did you expect? Did you or do you really expect anything? Maybe you just came expecting a cup of coffee, a chat with some friends, a snooze during the message if I don't do pathetic jokes and wake you up. It's really important to come to church expecting to hear God speak and being ready to listen to his voice and follow his leading. Maybe for some, we're a bit like the lame man. We come here as part of a routine. It's something that we've been doing for years. Maybe when we come to church, we expect to feel better, maybe to receive a little. Sometimes on a good day, depending on who's preaching, a bit more. It's a bit like expecting the equivalent of a few pennies from God to see us through the week. Yet God has got so much more to give. That day, the lame man asked Peter and John for change, and boy, did he get change. He was looking for his short-term, immediate needs to be met, but God did so much more. Maybe like the lame man, what you desire is not what you really need. Maybe when you hold out your hand and ask God to give you what you need, maybe you should be asking God to give you what he desires you to have. Because you might find that God's got so much more to offer. What the man desired or wanted or expected was money, but what he needed was healing. And that was beyond his expectation. Peter, in scripture we see, told them they didn't have what he wanted, but they had what he needed. He wanted to fill his cup, but God wanted to fill his heart. He wanted a handout, and he was about to receive a hand up. Many people who come through the doors of the church see the church as a safe place where they can get help. Some come with particular things in mind. Maybe they've got a physical need. Maybe people need food, clothing, shelter, and they come to church to help with these needs. But it's easy for us in the church to fall into the trap of giving people what they expect rather than what they need. We should continue as a church to provide food, clothes and shelter for those in need, but we must make sure that that's not where we stop. We need to tell them that we do this in the name of Jesus. We need to point them to Jesus. Our physical resources are limited, but what we do have is something that money can't buy. We have something that's worth much more than silver or gold. We have Jesus. There are lots of humanitarian organisations out there giving aid, and it's really, really important that we in the church continue to show compassion and help and support people practically. But what marks us as different is the extra gift, the gift of Jesus. The same God who physically healed the man and enabled him to walk, jump and praise God can heal the whole of our lives, can heal our hearts, our souls, our minds. The outward change of the lame man was a sign of the inward change. He praised God, not just for his healing, but for a transformed life. When we come to our relationship with approaching God, mankind really doesn't have a leg to stand on. Our sins have separated us from God and keep us from approaching him. And it's quite easy to see the healing of the lame man as an illustration of what salvation is like. He was born lame. All of us are born unable to walk in a way that will please God. He was poor. We as sinners are unable to pay the debt that we owe Jesus. And because of his condition, he was outside the temple. All sinners are separated from God. From verse 11 onwards, we see that as a result of the miracle of the healing of the lame man, a crowd gathered. And what's really important, and important for us to remember as a church, Peter directed the attention away from himself and the healed man, and he pointed people to Jesus. When we support people, when we help people, we have to take the attention away from what we're doing to what God's doing. It's Jesus is the one who heals and restores and redeems. This is the one in whose name the miracle took place. If we look at verse 12. Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? That's the verse that Andy started tonight with. It's pointing everyone to Jesus, not ourselves. The man was healed in the name of Jesus. A name that implies more than just identification. It carries with it authority, reputation, and power. During his message, Peter refers to Jesus in a number of ways, and these would have been clearly understood by the crowd. If you look at verse 13, he uses the title God's servant. And then on at verse 14, the holy and righteous one. Verse 15, the author of life. And then if you look down, verse 22, the prophet foretold by Moses. All these titles speak of the uniqueness of Jesus and help to explain his saving power. What I like about Peter's sermon is he really didn't hold back in letting them know who Jesus was, the one they crucified was. He made it quite clear that they were guilty of killing their own Messiah. I know I'm personally quite reticent in pointing out, you know, what people need to change. It's easy to see the good in people. For me, I find it quite easy to see the good, but I find it quite difficult to say, but you need to change that. But it's clear there must be conviction before a sinner can experience conversion. If you think about it in medical terms, unless a patient is convinced that he or she is sick, he or she will never accept a treatment to make them well again. Peter turned the temple into a courtroom and laid all the evidence out for everyone to see. No one could deny the miracle. They'd exhibit the lame man there in front of them. By accepting the reality of this miracle was to accept that Jesus is the living Son of God and that his name is power. And Peter ends the sermon by challenging his hearers that they need to repent. Verse 17. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. There was a distinction in Jewish teaching between the sins of ignorance and the sins of presumption. He makes it clear that they had acted in ignorance, so forgiveness was possible. They didn't realise what they were doing. In fact, it was fulfilling prophecy. But God knew what he was doing. It was in his plan. The lame man was healed by the grace of God, and the healing was immediate. If you can just turn to to Ephesians 2, verses 8. It's on page 1174 in Scriptures. Ephesians 2, verse 8, and it's page 1174. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I like the wording, the way it's written in the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it for you. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The timing of the healing of this man was in God's plan. At the appointed time, he was healed and restored. And many who witnessed this healing were also restored to new life in Christ. And we, as a church, need a spirit-filled, living relationship with Jesus to reach out in power to others. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more important among God's priorities than people. And this is time for confession. Yesterday I was on my way to All Sorts and I parked in the car park across there and I was heavily laden with lots of bags. And just as I came round and I could see the church, the side door ahead of me, I saw a man at the side door and I thought, oh no, I've got so much to prepare. I really can't cope with dealing with anybody just now. And to be fair, by the time I had got to anywhere near him, he had walked off. And I thought, how wrong is that? I was so caught up in what I wanted to do in my own agenda and setting up things for All Sorts. Yet that man was needy and he'd came to the church door and here was me looking, thinking, oh, I just can't cope with you today. I've got too much in my own agenda to do. And then I thought about it and thought, I'm probably not the only one We come to church and we see sometimes we don't work with God. Quite often we work for God. We've got our own agenda of what we think God wants us to do. I felt all sorts was my priority. It was taking up every moment of my thought yesterday. And yet there was a needy man. And here was me sort of thinking, oh, I hope he goes away before I get to the door, because I really don't have time to sort of sandwich out. So I'm sorry about that. Pray for me that I'll be better next time. But I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever done that. Our task as a church is to share the healing power of God with those around us. I found this quote and I really liked it. We must never be content to sing standing on the promises while all we're doing is sitting on the premises. I like that. Do you know that song, Andy, Standing on the Promises, or is that too old for you as well? That's okay. Pentecost is to enable us to reach out and to touch others. Remember, God can work in an extraordinary way, on an ordinary day, with ordinary people. We've just got to be open. We're not the healers. We're only the means through which the healing power of Jesus can flow. If we're Spirit-filled Christians, we've all got gifts given by God to benefit the church. And there are many gifts. There's encouragement, serving, teaching, knowledge, faith, healing, comfort, giving, leading, wisdom, hospitality, love, loyal friendship, patient listening ear, understanding, kindness, blah, 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 blah. I could go on forever. There's lots of gifts there, lots of things that God gives us. Some we might feel is just, well, it's just something that I do, but it's something that God's given you. We give what we have in the name of Jesus. We do what we can, and God will do what we cannot. Hudson Taylor's life motto was this: attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And I was really excited this morning when Lucy shared this morning, and she said, how do you do great things for God? Well, you start with the little things. And as we start with the little things, God will do what we can't do. We can expect great things from God. We don't have to be everything to everyone. We don't have to match what someone else can do. All Jesus expects us to do is to give what he's already given us. If you think about it, if Peter had listened to only just to what the lame man had said, he says he needed money, and Peter could have easily responded, oh, sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. I don't have any money. But he looked to what he had, and he gave what he had. He gave the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to act in the name of Jesus, and the lame man received more than he'd ever imagined. In our own lives, we may be facing issues and circumstances that have a tremendous impact in our life. Perhaps you're facing a situation and it seems really there's no way out, no hope. Your greatest desire is for the Lord to work a miracle. Let the story of this man encourage you. All he wanted was some pocket change, but he received an entire life change. As Peter and John met with him that day, he received more than he could ever have asked for. And Jesus still works miracles today. But it doesn't always work when or how we would choose. Remember, when he was at these temple gates, Peter and John would have passed by several times. Jesus may even have passed by, but it was at this divine appointment that he was healed. The same God who physically healed the man and enabled him to walk, jump, and praise God can heal the whole of our lives, our hearts, our souls, our minds. The outward change was a sign of the inward change. Let's praise God for our transformed lives. Amen.